do we have any bargain shoppers? A few? Did anybody go out on Black Friday and steal some deals? A couple? Okay. I like to think that I'm a bargain shopper. I like to go and find the best deals. But I've had a couple mishaps. Anybody had a mishap? Sometimes I get so enthralled in getting the great deal that I buy something I just don't even need. Like, why did I mean, I saved so much money. I don't even know what I'm going to do with this. And so there's a couple times I've done that. One time was we had been married for a few years, Michelle and I. We were going to buy some furniture. You know, we'd always got hand-me-downs, but we were going to buy some new furniture. And so we were excited, and we went to the furniture store, a local store here, and there was this deal. Like, you could buy these two couches, essentially, for what I couldn't buy a used couch for. So I was like, this is a deal. But a few years later, I realized that when I would sit on this couch, it would add to my wardrobe. Basically, what that means is this leather couch would literally cling to me, and sheets of this pleather would come off on my outfit just and cling. And so I'd have to, like, vacuum my back, you know. So that was one mishap. Another one was a few years later, or actually before, I think there was this craze. Y'all remember this craze, this exercise craze called P90X? Anybody do that? Tony Horton and all that. So we did that, and I didn't want to spend whatever it was that was, I can't remember what it cost to get the things, but I was like, you know, surely eBay will have this, you know. And so I bought it off eBay, but when it came, I realized that the DVDs and all the publication was real spotty. Like, some of the DVDs wouldn't work, and the pictures weren't not even, like, right on the page, you know. And then I went back and looked and realized that I had bought it from a country in the Far East, you know. And so I was like, oh, this is not exactly what I ordered. And then a few years ago, I was watching news, and they were saying that they were recalling all of these airbags because they had replaced these airbags with some off-brand airbags, and they were causing more damage than the original, the manufacturing airbag was doing, or the crash itself. And so they had to recall all these, and it was a big deal. So I was thinking about this, and sometimes when you bargain shop, you don't get exactly what you want. And sometimes, it was an inconvenience. We had to go buy a new couch before I wanted to, or I had to not use those particular DVDs. But sometimes it has great and far-reaching ramifications, like these airbags, right? It was life. That was someone's life that could have been in danger. And so we're looking here, and I wanted to do a message about Thanksgiving. And so there's this scripture in Colossians 2, and at the end of it, it says, abounding in thanksgiving. You're like, that sounds good. I could name it, you know, astounding abounding, or I could get really excited. But as I dug into the scripture, I realized that though it talks about thanksgiving, it wasn't about thanksgiving at all. It was really about something else. And so this morning, I've entitled this message, The Real Deal. Because sometimes we can, just like we can purchase something that we think we're getting one thing and we get another, sometimes when we come in our relationship with God, we think we get one thing, but really it's something altogether different. And so I want to pray this morning before I read this scripture and jump into our message. So let's pray. Father, thank you that you're faithful with us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us not be deceived, not to be led astray into something that you haven't designed for us, Lord, but to walk in the goodness and the faithfulness that you've brought, you've provided for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've titled this The Real Deal, and this is Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And just to set this up, Paul is writing this letter to the Colossian church, and a different message is kind of coming in. There's the gospel, and other people are kind of twisting it. Now, no one today would say, hey, make these outlandish quotes or outlandish statements about who Jesus is. But these are subtle things that kind of come in what we hear maybe on the radio or what we see on TV or a book we read or what we catch from the culture, and it twists what's true, and therefore we don't reap the benefits of all Jesus has purchased for us. Okay, so let's read how Paul addressed this in the Colossian church. Chapter 2, verse 2 through 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Okay, let's read that again. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And so what we're going to do is look at three things that help us realize, are we walking in, have we received, and are we walking in the very gospel that Jesus purchased for us? Or have we settled for a cheap alternative? Okay? So the first thing was this, is this. In the real gospel, Jesus is Lord. Now that seems like, I know that. That seems pretty basic. Oh, it is. In the real gospel, Jesus is Lord. And I remember, in fact, this scripture says, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. I remember receiving Christ Jesus the Lord. I remember. I didn't have much. And so to give Jesus everything was pretty easy, right? My life was jacked up. I was a hypocrite. I believed one thing, lived another way. I was in shambles, right? And so to give Jesus, take it all, Lord. I don't have anything. It's not worth anything, but I need some help. And so Jesus can have everything. But now, I got a little something. I got a wife, right? This poor woman agreed to marry me, right? And then I've got kids, and yeah, I've got a couple cars and a house, and I've got, I wouldn't say a lot of money in the bank. I think I had more money in the bank before I got married, right? But I got a little bit of money put away. And so here it is. Now, but just as you receive Jesus, the Lord, now walk in Him. You know what? Jesus has required for me no less than He required for me back then. Only it didn't cost me very much back then. But now it's costing me something. That Jesus wants everything. And you know what? We love Jesus. I'm looking through the Bible about Jesus, and you know what? Jesus is the suffering servant. I mean, who doesn't want someone to suffer for me? Huh? So Jesus would suffer for me so I don't have to? Yes, I want that. What about Jesus the foot washer? Man, I love Jesus, my feet are dirty. I'm unclean. Jesus, come and clean me. I love that Jesus, right? Thank you, Lord, for that. Jesus, the good shepherd, that when I was lost and He would leave the 99 to come after me. Remember we sing about that? Oh, you left the 99 and you ran after me. Oh, I love that, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that You came after me when I was lost. I love that one. What about if you're a younger brother, if you're familiar with the prodigal son story, if you're the younger brother who runs away, you love that Jesus chastises the elder brothers, right? Yeah, those legalistic. Get on them, Jesus. We love that Jesus. And we love all these Jesuses. Oh, the healer. Oh, man, I'm broken. I need help. Jesus, heal me. Right? Jesus, the storm stopper. God, you see the storm. Can you stop this storm for me, Jesus? Or Jesus, the water walker. You know, I need a miracle. And we want that, Jesus. But I was reading a couple stories in the Bible that we don't tend to remember when we think of Jesus as Lord. And here's one. It was in John chapter 6. In fact, I heard a message about this this summer. It was John chapter 6, and Jesus comes in to this area, and there's 5,000 men there. And they're vast. And He looks at Philip, and He says, feed these people. Philip's like, a year's wages wouldn't feed these people. He just feed them. And Peter brings this young boy up. He says he has 5 barley loaves. Now, barley was the cheap, that was the cheap stuff. It wasn't an artisan roll. It was the barley loaf. And here's a man who's poor. He's a poor boy. You know what the Bible says? Jesus took that man's bread. He took his loaves. The poor, I'm pretty sure of all the people there, there was some bread. And probably some better bread than this poor boy's 5 barley loaves. But Jesus took that boy's lunch. He took it. He had prepared, or at least his mother did, right? Packed a lunch. Probably had a plan for these loaves. I'm going to eat. I'm going to follow Jesus for 5 days. I got one loaf for each day, and then I got to go home. And then in one moment, Jesus took all his loaves. In one moment. Now, I've identified with this man, right? I've identified with this poor boy lately. I've thought about, man, some dreams I've had or some plans I've had or some desires I've had. And maybe here it is, and Jesus just takes my loaves. Well, you're supposed to stop storms, Jesus, not take my lunch. You're supposed to give me the miracle, God, but don't take what I've had, what I've planned for, what I've wanted. And Jesus took it. Because Jesus is the Lord. You've got some loaves this morning. Some of us here, Jesus wants them. Well, I made these loaves. Mine. Yeah, they're yours. Only they're His. Because when you accept Jesus the Lord and you walk in Him, He has the right for your whole life. And you might have a direction, you might have a path, and Jesus says, I'm going to need that. I'm going to take that. What about this man named Zebedee? He had a fishing business. And his sons worked for him, and they were mending the nets, and Jesus walked by and says, follow me. And Jesus took that man's sons. Right there, I mean, they were working. Now, I have a feeling that I've never left a job. Is that true? I can imagine leaving a job half done that my dad was with me on, right? And thinking, oh, he'll finish the job. He would not be happy. And Jesus walks up to these men and says, follow me. Leave the business. Leave the plans for your dad. Probably has some plans for you, but you follow me. And Zebedee's left in that boat, and his sons walk away. See, Jesus is the Lord. And sometimes He asks us for things that we don't want to give. Now, we want miracles. What about that man who had a little agricultural business in Jerusalem, and he had some donkeys, and one of them had given birth, and he was thinking, man, I'll probably sell this donkey, maybe purchase that thing that I need, or feed my family, or have this business venture. I finally needed another donkey, and now I can do it. And Jesus says, the Lord has need of that, and He takes the donkey. I've been saving up this money. I've been saving up this thing. And Jesus says, I have need of that. Because Jesus is the Lord. And sometimes He asks us for things that we don't want to give. See, the real gospel, Jesus is Lord. If you serve a God who never makes you uncomfortable, who never asks of you anything that hurts or sacrifices or contradicts your will, is He really God? Or are you serving a God of your own making? Man, if I tell you what, I can make a good God. They would agree with me most of the time, maybe all the time. And we act like that is rare. Jesus is the Lord. Lord of all creation. And sometimes He asks us of things and contradicts our will. And it hurts. But you know what's neat about these moments? Every one of these moments, when Jesus asked something that we didn't want to give, He did something that we could not have done. This one man, I just got 5 barley loaves and Jesus took my lunch. And we could be over there pouting, Jesus took my lunch, my 5 loaves. We're so worried about what we missed that we didn't see that He fed 5,000 with it. We're so caught up on what Jesus might take from us that we forget of what He wants to do with us. He would never take something that He doesn't want to perform a miracle. And that brother probably ate. The Bible says that there was 12 baskets left over. I'm pretty sure Peter probably gave him a couple extra loaves, you know. I don't know. It doesn't say. Speculating. What about these men Zebedee? He lost his sons and his business. But the world was changed through these men. Cities shaken. I remember there's an old story about John walking into a temple in Ephesus. And literally he prayed a prayer. And the Bible, not the Bible, this is extra biblical, but the historical record says that the temple shook and it split in two. I mean, this is the man that Jesus called out of a fishing business to shake cities. But there was some sacrifice. There was some uncertainty. There was some uncomfortability. Jesus was asking for something because he wanted to do something bigger than what we could have done. This isn't Jesus is Lord so we could be miserable. This is Jesus is Lord so he could be awesome. And we could be a part of it. I hope that brother got his donkey back, but I don't know. We don't know. Because in the real gospel, Jesus is Lord. He won't be tamed. I love that Fred, we talked about this on the other Thursday night on campus, but in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Susan's talking to Beaver, and they're kind of talking about Aslan, and Susan's kind of like, oh man, he's a lion? I thought he was a man. And is he tame? And the Beaver looks at her, of course he's not tame. Who said anything about being tame? But he is good. We serve the Lord, and he won't be tamed by you, and he won't be tamed by me, but he is good. Number two, in the real gospel, Jesus did and is doing the heavy lifting. This is what the scripture says. It says, therefore, as you receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. And this is interesting because this scripture, there's some active verbs and there's some passive verbs, right? One of the passive verbs is, one of the active verbs is receive, right? I received it. I did it. I did the receiving. I received it, okay? Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. There's another one, walk. That's an active verb, walk. And then it kind of breaks that down. What does it mean to walk in him? But when it breaks down this kind of phrase, walking in him, Jesus, all the verbs turn passive. Think about that. Jesus asks us to walk with him, to walk in him. But all the verbs are passive, meaning we don't do the action, he does it to us. And let's look at what he does. I love the NAS here. There's some Greek nuances here, but I think the NASB brings this to light, okay? This is what it says. Same verse, the New American Standard. Therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted. Okay, that's past tense, right? And now being built up, that's present tense. And established in the faith, past tense. But all of those have something done to us. See, walking in Jesus is first, realizing that we are rooted in Christ. Have you seen these big machines? I see them on the highway sometimes. There's like four spoons, and they're together. And they've got four sides, and they go in, and they literally just dig a tree out of the ground, put it on the back of the thing in the root ball, and drive it to another location, and then plop that thing down. Here's like a 10-year-old tree right here. Boom. Done. So this is the gospel. The gospel says that you are in the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus lifted you up, carried you into the garden of his delight, and planted you there. The real gospel isn't you working your way into his garden, it's him rooting you in himself. You don't root yourself. You've seen a tree. This isn't Lord of the Rings. The trees don't walk in around. Somebody's got to pick that tree up and take this thing and put it in a new place. Jesus did that. Rooted in him. The Bible uses words like grafted, taking a branch in Romans. It says you were grafted in, you Gentiles, you non-Jews. You weren't even supposed to be here, and Jesus grafted you in. You don't deserve to be here. You don't deserve the garden of his delight where he's the gardener and he's walking around making sure you flourish. I was bearing fruit for destruction. That my life out of it was hypocrisy and hatred. And Jesus just picked me up and put me in new soil, rooted in him. He did that. That's past tense. What else is this? Built up in him. Built up in us, present tense. I'm not building, he's building. Be encouraged this morning. You are not what you ought to be. You're not. And some of us in here are doing a pretty good job of trying to rip down what Jesus is building, but you know what? He will build it. He'll build it. Because you know what? You're rooted in him. And he will build you up, built up in him. He's calling us deeper. He's calling us higher. He's saying, look, I will do it if you'll just let me do it. Rooted and built up in him. Let me just, guys, we are not what we ought to be. We are not good helpers. It's like my daughter, can I help you make dinner? Quick answer, no, you cannot. I don't feel like, I know that sounds horrible, doesn't it? But I don't want to clean up five extra things or take three times as long. I mean, that's just my flesh. I know you guys are better parents than me. Y'all would say, of course, baby, you can do it. Yeah, I don't want to do it. And then when I'm done, whatever destruction she has done, she takes credit for all the good stuff, right? Mommy, look what we made for you. We made that for you. And then here God is. He said, man, I'm rooted and built up in you. And then we were like, yeah, I did that. That was awesome. I mean, what did you do? Because the real gospel puts the heavy lifting on what Jesus did and what he's doing. He's doing something. And he's doing something in you. And be encouraged. You can't screw it up. Because you're in his garden. He's put the Holy Spirit in. And he will work. I don't mean there won't be some pruning going on. I'm not saying it won't be uncomfortable. All I'm saying is he will build it. And we can fight it and strain. You can strain to bear fruit, but it won't work. Because he will do it. That's why it says in Philippians 2 that it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now work out your salvation. What he did in you and is making you desire to do what he wants to do, and then you do it, and then he did all of it. Now work it out as he works in. And there's this symbiotic relationship with as God is working in me, as God is changing me, and God is moving in me, and that I will work with him to work out what he's worked in. If the weight of who you are and what you become is on your shoulders, then you aren't walking in him. I'll say that again. If the weight of who you are and what you become is on your shoulders, you aren't walking in him. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up and established in the faith just as you were instructed. In the real gospel, Jesus did and is doing the heavy lifting. Are you letting him? Or are you doing the heavy lifting? I mean, we live in a culture and a society. I'm on campus. There's more anxiety. There's more stress. There's more. I feel it too. There's more. I feel it. Anxiety, stress. I feel it. I wonder why. Because I'm doing the heavy lifting. But if I will relax in him, then I'm rooted in him. He's not going to let me miss it. He's not going to, if I'm surrendered before him, if I'm under the lordship of Jesus, if he's the Lord and I'm surrendered to him and walking with him, he's going to root me, he's rooted me, he's going to build me up, and I will fulfill what he's called me to be. We've been sold a cheap substitute of the gospel. Lastly, in the real gospel, thanksgiving abounds. In the real gospel, thanksgiving abounds. If thanksgiving, said another way, is not abounding, we haven't either received Him or we aren't walking in Him. I'll say that again. If thanksgiving to God isn't abounding in us, transcendent, no matter what we're going through, no matter the circumstances, if there's not thanksgiving abounding, one of two things is true. We haven't received Christ Jesus the Lord and understood all that He's done for us. Or we aren't walking in Him. It hits you about like I expected it to, right? Is thanksgiving abounding in you? I'm not a thankful person by nature. Anybody who knows me, I'm critical by nature. My default mode, find something wrong. There's a good side to that, and there's a bad side to that. I tend to fall on the bad side. Okay? So thanksgiving isn't just like, it's just great to be alive. Oh, my sun's out. Woo! No. No, it does. It's not that way. And yet, when I get around Jesus and when I get in His Word and when I realize all that He's done for me, man, I do. How can I not be thankful? Because if thanksgiving is not abounding in us, we haven't received Him or we aren't walking in Him. Well, Blake, you don't know what I've been through. Now, that's true. I don't. The man who's writing this letter is in prison while he's writing it. He's literally in prison. And he's just, man, thanks, abounding in thanksgiving. Because he's caught something that no matter where I am or what I'm going through, God is Lord, and He's doing something bigger than what I'm experiencing for His glory. In fact, there was a time in the city of Philippi in Macedonia where he and Silas were in prison, and they're just worshiping. As soon as they got in there, woo, it's going to be a good night tonight. What? Right? And this is, they're going on. They're just worshiping. Why? Because they're abounding in thanksgiving for all that He's done for us. Thanksgiving is powerful. I just did just the phrase thanksgiving, not giving thanks, not adoration, just the phrase thanksgiving. This is what I learned, is that when I give thanks, other people are edified. When I give thanks, it's a counteraction. It's a defense against anxiety. Philippians 4 says that. Thanksgiving is a ram shot against anxiety. Are you struggling with anxiety? Thanksgiving is a part of the remedy. Thanksgiving actually is a bolster against immorality and impurity. It's amazing. I was reading, I couldn't believe it. I was like, there it is. You've got impurity, you've got immorality, sensuality, give thanks, worship Jesus in it, and it will begin to tear down those things that are causing you to turn to those things. That's just Scripture. And on, thanksgiving has power. In fact, I was reading an article, Michelle and Devon turned me on to this Dr. Caroline Leaf. And this is one of the things she said, that she's quoting the Institute of Hartmouth. So if you don't like her, that's okay. She's not even quoting herself. She's quoting the Institute of Hartmouth and their study on how anger, fear, frustration affect our DNA. And it says that our DNA actually, I don't know if this is right, but constrain when we experience fear, anxiety, anger, frustration, so that they can't do what they're meant to do. They're limited. But, they said, what was really exciting about this study is the fact that the negative shutdown or the poor quality of the DNA codes was reversed with feelings of love, joy, appreciation, and gratitude. That our attitude of gratitude and our heart posture, isn't it amazing that God did something that we could be happy or we could have gratitude or thanksgiving transcendent of what's happening in the natural world. He purchased something for us that no matter what we're going through, we can still be gracious and have gratitude to God. Because he knew that, better than I know, that the science has even proven it, that if you can lift up your heart, your body will even begin to react in a way health that will produce health for you. It's amazing. And in fact, this is the last statement they said. Researchers also found that someone with HIV positive, they were HIV positive, if they experienced these positive thoughts and feelings, their immune system was over 300,000 times more resistant. 300,000 times. Amazing the power of our heart gratitude towards God. You think that's an accident? Think God didn't produce or purchase for us something where we could abound in thanksgiving? So I've been practicing the last couple days. Not perfectly. God knows. I was with my family. My extended family. Right? Lots of thanksgiving and lots of repentance. Right? It went hand in hand. Jesus, forgive me and thank you that you've forgiven me, God. I was a jerk. And thank you, Lord, that I'm not a jerk in Christ, you know, and all these things. But the reality is I was just practicing, and it was amazing the anxiety began to come down. I mean, when I come up here, I'm pretty amped, and it's not all the Lord, you know. Some of it's very much my natural flesh. But there was a calmness that transcended the natural circumstance. And I just know that I'm just scratching the surface. Because Jesus has rooted us. Jesus is the Lord. And Jesus has provided a way that we can abound in thanksgiving. So, I know some of you are thinking, what do we do, Blake? Give me something to do. You practical folks. It's amazing here that most of what's being said is already done. Just let that just rest on you. You know the active verbs in this passage? I'll tell you. Receive, walk, and abound in thanksgiving. Those are the active verbs. Receive, walk. I mean, that doesn't sound like much, does it? Most of all the stuff has already been done. But I will give you something to do so you'll be happy. Receive the Lord Jesus. And you might be saying, like, I did that 20 years ago. Good, good. Have you received him today? Because I'm going to tell you right now, the Jesus of the Bible, that, as far as I'm concerned, never lets me stay stagnant very long. It's always prying me out. Jesus, I just kind of like where I am, you know? This is beautiful. This is good. So I'm going to push you on out. Push you on out. Because he's the Lord. That's what he does. Have you received Christ Jesus the Lord, or have you received a cheap substitute? If the Jesus you follow doesn't cost you anything, make you uncomfortable, that's not Jesus. No, he's awesome. He's good. It's the ride of your life. You'll see miracles. He's going to take you low, though. Second thing, walk in him. It's interesting at the end of this, right? Rooted, built up, established, just as you were taught. Have you been taught? Because much of what we have isn't at our disposal, but because not because it's not there, but because we don't know it's there. Have you been taught in Him? Have you taken the time to get down, maybe gone through the first step class or the purple book and said, I need to understand this thing called my faith. I need to be established in the faith so that I can even explain it to others. Maybe my kids. Maybe my coworker. Maybe people in my neighborhood. Have you been taught? What about this growth track that we've implemented and we put in place to better equip you? Have you been taught with that? Have you been challenged by it to get moving and growing in your faith? Because you know what? You grow as you go. And that's exactly what this growth track is designed to do, is to get you moving. I don't want to grow. Well, don't sign up for the growth track, because we're going to get you moving. Okay? And finally, abound in thanksgiving. What do you need to do, man? Whatever you're facing today or tomorrow, give thanks. Find something to reflect it back to God, what He's done for you. If all that you can think of is that you were jacked up, busted, going to hell, and Jesus transplanted you into the kingdom of God, then just stay right there. That's enough. But there could be some temptations that come your way today. Real temptations. What do I do? Okay, I don't know what you should do other than give thanks. Start there and be amazed at what happens. What about these thoughts I'm struggling with, or these intellectual hurdles that are, I'm just not sure if I understand. Give thanks. Start there. Give thanks for all that He's done for you. Let's major on what He majored on and focus on Him. What if this kind of angst gets in me and I get real frustrated? Maybe this kind of outburst of anger started to happen theoretically somewhere out there, far, far away, that maybe I could get angry today in the holiday season around all these people that I love and cherish so much. If that, what should I do? I should pull back and give thanks. And it's amazing what that will do to my perception and my response. Abounding in thanksgiving. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning that You're good. I thank You, Lord, that You have done and always will do the heavy lifting. That we can be encouraged no matter where we are in this place this morning. If you're here this morning, you're saying, Blake, I'm struggling. Let me just encourage you with this. If you put your faith in Christ, you put your roots, and God has put you in His garden, if He's transplanted you by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you've said, I receive Christ Jesus, then you're rooted in Him, and He will never stop cultivating your heart and your life until He comes again. It's the promise. And don't listen to the lies that you've gone too far or there's nothing left. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus can bring anything back to life. When we are faithless, He remains faithful. If you need prayer for that this morning, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Raise it high. Father, You see these hands. Lord, I pray right now by the power of the Holy Spirit, You would release Your goodness and Your faithfulness, that You would build them up. Lord, that they would find someone today to share what they're going through so that another believer can build them up. Speak truth to them. Speak the beauty of Christ to them. Speak who they are in Jesus. That they're adopted as sons and daughters. That they're cherished. That they are the apple of His eye. And they can't run fast enough. Lord, I thank you. I pray that you'd seal them by the Holy Spirit. Strengthen them this morning. Lord, I pray they'd hear good teaching this week. Maybe they even go out of their way to listen to a podcast or to open their Bible and read who they are in Jesus and all that you are in them. Lord, we thank you. Lord, help us be thankful people, armed with the power of thanksgiving, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.